I'm Leonard Lopate, and this is WNYC 93.9 AM 820. We're online at WNYC.org. With all the films and books and records out there for the holiday season, how do you choose the ones that you want to see and read and listen to? Which ones would you give as presents? And what do your choices say about you? Well, we're opening the phones to get your thoughts on navigating all of the film, literature, TV, and record objects out there this winter. How do you decide if a film is worth seeing? Do you distinguish between films that you want to see on the big screen and films you'll wait to watch on DVD or on video or on HBO if you get that? I know a kid who refuses to see movies in certain theaters because the screens just aren't good enough as far as he's concerned. By the way, our number here is 212-267-WNYC. That's area code 212-267-9692. How important are the opinions of the critics? If a film gets a bad review, would you still go see it in the theater? And why would you? Although there may be certain critics you trust more than others, critics whose tastes are aligned to your own. Or what about word of mouth, family and friends, or just peer pressure? Everybody's seeing it. Maybe you should see it as well. What about books? Do you decide once you get to the store, or do you research beforehand? Do you like keeping up with the bestseller lists? It seems that these days many more people buy books than take them out of the library. At least that's my sense, not that the libraries are empty. Do you prefer to buy books, and is it important to actually have the book? Have you read every book you've bought? If you have a lot of books in your bookcase, are they there in some cases because you think you should have that book, or have you tried to read every book that you have bought? What do you think the books you buy say about your personality? And the same about the TV shows that you prefer to watch. Do you tend to watch shows that you can discuss with your friends, or do you have any secret pleasures, guilty pleasures? Our number 212-267-9692. And we go now to Fred in Manhattan. Hi, Fred.
Hi, I haven't spoke to you in a while. Yes, I a couple weeks ago, I saw the movie, Alexander, because I like watching things, you know, historical movies, you know, that type of thing. And I know you saw it, and, you know, I was just wondering, why would a film like, and I saw Gladiator 2, why would that do as well, I mean, better than something like, you know, Alexander? And, of course, you know, it had bad reviews, you know, some of the views were mixed to bad reviews, you know, that type of thing.
Well, so, big movies like Alexander can get bad reviews and still do well. Mm-hmm. But don't you think that in... Did you like Alexander?
I think it was better than some of the critics. See, that's the thing, too. These critics, they drive me nuts. Because I thought it was better than what the critics were saying. I mean, the other day I saw, you know, Blade 2. So I'm into all types of stuff, you know. I mean, you know.
And did you think Blade 2 was better than the critics said? Because Blade 2 got really bad reviews.
I thought Blade 2 was probably the best one. Because I like vampire stuff and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, getting back to Alexander, if a film like Alexander didn't do as well, what makes you think that, for instance, other historical movies, you know, they plan to do another Cleopatra, you know, big screen type thing. Or, for instance, I'm into, African history.
But the problem with Alexander, mm-hmm, was not that it was about Alexander the Great, but most of the people didn't like the way Colin Farrell played it. They didn't like the script. They thought that some of the script was rather confusing and over the top. Mm-hmm. The performances were rather wild. Colin Farrell in that weird dyed hair almost looked laughable. All those snakes that Angelina Jolie is playing with all the time and looking so ominous. There were a lot of things that made that film less than attractive. It has nothing to do with whether it's about history, because there have been some very successful films that are about history.
It depends on the cast, you think.
The cast, the script, the direction. That was a kind of silly movie.
So that's what you, I mean, I was about to ask, you know, what's your opinion of the movie.
To be absolutely honest, mm-hmm. I saw it because I thought one of the actors was going to be on the show, Val Kilmer.
Right.
And after I knew that he was dead, I couldn't take it anymore, and I left the theater.
Well, what do you think?
And then he decided on the day before he was supposed to be on the show to fly back to Hollywood. So then I felt there was no reason to see that movie.
What do you think of, just two more questions, what do you think of, like, for instance, there's a big controversy dealing with Alexander's wife. I mean, she was supposed to be a Persian woman. I think she was an Afghan. Yeah, Afghan. You know, what do you think of cross-racial type casting?
Well, that's always a problem in casting. Rosario Dawson did not look like an Afghan, but she's a wonderful actress, and I see nothing wrong in doing that sort of thing if she pulls it off. Thank you so much for your call, and we go now to Larry in Brooklyn. Hi, Larry.
Hi, good morning. I was calling to talk about the books that I picked out, I've chosen to read. I think for the holidays, I'd like to get a book that's usually something that you can, it's a big book, something that you can stay with, you know, sink your teeth into and not be finished with in a couple of days reading.
Are we talking about fiction or nonfiction?
Actually, both, but recently I've been getting into nonfiction biographies, and I'd recommend to your readers books by Robert Caro. I mean, I've been reading his Johnson, two of his three Johnson books, you know, mm-hmm. on the years of Lyndon Johnson, and I just find it fabulous.
Well, he's a great storyteller. So whether it's fiction or nonfiction, you're just swept along by the kinds of things he's telling you. He's never dry.
Right, that's for sure. In terms of TV shows that
But would you buy books for other people? If you do, what determines what you might give as a gift to a certain person?
Actually, I haven't bought books for other people, and I think it's important. You know, it once again, that would be something that would be individualized. There are some people that you would not want to get a big, thick book about, a biographical work, because these people wouldn't be interested in it. On the other hand, people's tastes are different. I mean, if it's a popular fictional book that's out on a bestseller list, then I think it is something that you might want to give to your average friend.
What about something like The Da Vinci Code? Would you have read that?
I started reading The Da Vinci Code. My wife took about 3 months to read it. She really, I think she enjoyed it. But I particularly did not care for The Da Vinci Code as I was reading it. I didn't find it entertaining, although I'm sure there are plenty of people in your audience that would disagree with that.
Well, a lot of people apologized for reading it, and at the same time said, it is a real page turner and I want to know how it works out. So I guess that there's something to be said for that kind of book too.
Yeah, no, definitely.
That's, Dickens wrote those kinds of books, although he also wrote great literature.
Funny you should mention Dickens. I just started listening to, and I listen to books on tape. I'm listening to Great Expectations. And getting back to an earlier point that you mentioned, I bought Caro's book on Johnson's Senate years, and yet it was a very, very thick book. I ended up listening to most of it on a book on tape, which I took out of my local library. So I got the best of both worlds. On the times when I was home, I was reading it, and other times when I was on the move, I was listening to it.
Thank you so much for calling us, Larry.
Thank you. Season's greetings. Bye.
And, yeah, I should make that point to everyone that this is the holiday season. We are thinking about the holiday, and we'll be doing a lot of stuff around the holiday as well. Timothy in Manhattan, you're at work?
Yes, I am.
Does your boss know you're calling?
No, I'm the only person here, so I can't call. yes, I would like to talk about the books also. I think that...
Nobody wants to talk about anything else, records, movies, whatever, but TV...
Actually, the way I choose books, records, or even go to movies or watch TV is generally the same way, and if it's very popular, then I'm not interested, because chances are I won't be entertained the way I like to be entertained.
So what entertains you?
I need something very intellectually engaging. I mean, as pretentious as that might sound, I really need to be, I need to have my mind entertained. So I tend to like novels or stories that have, or TV shows that are much more about a quiet action as opposed to, these slashems and burnums and,
no explosions.
Plot-driven movies. I love long things also.
Meditative films.
meditative films, meditative books.
That means you see a lot of foreign films.
I see a lot of foreign films. I love a lot of independent film. I love documentaries. Documentaries is basically, I tend to watch more documentaries now than ever before. I wish there was a documentary channel on cable that showed nothing but documentaries. I'd be happy all day.
Well, they're kind of. But, yeah, I know what you mean. Channel 13, of course, gives us some. But the History Channel, except that that's all about World War II.
Exactly.
Isn't it? There's only so many things you can know about the Luftwaffe. Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Tracy in Connecticut. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, you're on New York Public Radio.
I know. Thank you. I just wanted to tell you I have a really bad habit, which is when I listen to NPR and they're talking about a book, I go and buy it.
I must be costing you a fortune.
Or I order it on Amazon, and they are costing me a fortune. I mean, it's not. It has happened more than once that I've driven directly to the Barnes & Noble and mm-hmm. bought the book while you were talking about it.
And did it usually pan out?
To some degree. Actually, most of them I get about halfway through, and then something else gets my attention.
That's so, a short attention span.
But it's okay, because then I still look forward to going back and finishing those books. It's just a matter of when to do it.
Well, one of the things that readers today have over readers in the past is that they can actually hear the writers talk about their work on shows like this.
Exactly.
And so you get a real sense of whether this is a simpatico person, whether it's somebody who you might want to know more about the inner workings of his or her mind.
A little bit, yeah, and also of the person doing the interviewing. If they've really enjoyed the book, that really comes across.
Oh, it does?
Especially, yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought I was good at faking.
No. You're very nice about it. So when you don't like it, you don't really say that. So, but it seems to me like there are certain books or certain parts of books that really project well on the shows, and you know, they get me very excited about the book.
Well, I'm so glad that we're doing that for you.
Yeah.
And how does that work with movies and records and other things?
Movies, sometimes music is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so if you hear a musician interview,
all your shows, all your music shows, right off the internet, just put them directly on CD. You know, so I didn't have to know the titles. I don't have to know who did it. I just want to listen to the music. But it's not set up that way yet. Although maybe this is a good idea for someone to do over there.
Well, thank you so much for calling us.
Sure.
We're going to take a little break here and come back with more of your calls to 212-267-WNYC. We want to know how you decide what movie to watch, what TV show, what book to buy for yourself, what book to buy as a gift, and maybe a DVD for a videotape for a friend as well. Give us a call now. And we are back to your calls at 212-267-WNYC here on WNYC 93.9 AM 820 online at WNYC.org. We want to know what determines your choice of films, TV, books, records, whether you go to the critics or whether you listen to friends or whether you just have favorites. If you see an ad for a film and it has a star you like, is that the reason you go, or is it a director or a script writer? And what about books? Do you buy the books that are on the bestseller list, or books by authors who you've enjoyed in the past, or do you wait to find out whether the critics think this one is as good as the other ones? Our number 212-267-WNYC, Tom in a car. Hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Leonard. I explained to the first, let me say I love your show. I've listened to it for years, and I really enjoy it. I did talk to the screener about books, but there's been so much conversation about books. Let's change it to movies. I'm very disappointed these days in the critics. For some reason, I read their reviews, and sometimes they're very verbose. And at the end of the article, I don't know whether it was a good movie or a bad movie.
Uh-huh.
Do you find find that to be the case?
Well, I usually get an idea, but don't you think that that's often your reaction? Haven't you gone to films and people have said, well, what'd you think of it? And, well, yeah, I kind of liked it, but then I didn't like this part.
I
thought this was good. I didn't think that was so good. No?
Well, you know, I guess this is, I've been influenced recently because I was up in Montreal a weekend or two ago and it was snowing and we had to kill a couple of hours and I looked, there was a theater that had 22 movies in it. So I looked at the times and there was a new movie called Closer. And I looked at the review or I looked at the blurbs and it looked like a good movie. And I went there, it was probably one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
It got very bad reviews here, Tom.
Oh,
Closer,
did?
Yeah. Closer, it got very bad reviews.
Yeah,
it should have been a better film. I don't know what went wrong. The play was quite good, but the movie just didn't seem to figure it out.
Yeah, it seems as though at least the new crop of reviewers, it may be my aging process. You know, I grew up with Pauline Kael and Bosley Crowther, and reviewers like that, and these new reviewers, they change them quite rapidly. And I do leave me with the feeling that I'm not quite certain whether I did see Sideways, and I do agree that that was probably one of the best films of the year that I've seen anyway.
Well, you know, Bosley Crowther thought Mary Poppins and Ben-Hur were better than anything Orson Welles did. So you have to take all critics with a grain of salt. Thank you so much for calling us.
Thank you, Leonard.
Mike in Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the Leonard Lopate Show.
Hi, Leonard. How are you today?
I'm well.
Okay, I went to see that movie Alexander because you had the historical consultant there on your show. Do you remember that?
I had a historian on the show, if you remember. I didn't have Oliver Stone here.
Right, that's correct. So I thought the movie was going to be very well done, historically speaking. But then when I went to see it, the way in which they showed the story, the times were all messed up. Did they start at the end with his death and then it becomes a big mess if you don't know the story.
Yeah, I think it was a rather confusing script.
Yeah.
And when they were at battle, you know, you just wondered, what the heck is going on? Who are these guys? Are these these Alexander soldiers? These the other soldiers? It was really impossible to tell.
Right, and not only that, but then you think there are going to be more battle scenes, but there's only two battle scenes, and they waste a whole long time, which the movie is long, by the way, in the... these, I don't know what kind of relationship between Alexander and Hephaestion, making it seem like it was more than what it really was.
Well, actually, making it seem like less than what it really was.
That's right. But they take it too much, this relationship.
Film didn't know whether it wanted to be about Alexander the Conqueror or Alexander the Lover.
Right. So that's why I didn't like it.
Okay, well,
all right.
There's a critic heard from. Christian in Manhattan.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
You want to talk about music?
Yeah.
What kind of music do you like?
Well, I typically like music from everywhere else in the world except for the United States, as of late.
Doesn't make you a very good American, you know.
Yeah, I know.
But we have some pretty great music here, don't we?
No. I'm not saying that I don't like the music. But with MTV, I'm 30 years old, and I don't have patience to watch, you know, to get through all the shows to watch any of the videos anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I barely know what kind of music is out there.
Well, you know, there's other kinds of music other than rock.
Oh, sure.
I hate to break this to you, but there's a tradition called jazz. There's another tradition called classical music. And there's some pretty great stuff there. And actually, once we get past a certain age and like that earlier caller and we want to be intellectually challenged, sometimes we don't want to hear a group that's saying, I'm 18 and I hate you because you're older.
I still need my rock, though.
Uh-huh.
You know, I grew up with Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and all these other guys. I still need, you know, some hard rock and Metallica and whatnot.
Oh, I thought it was I love my rock. I'm from Long Island.
Yeah, no, I'm not from Long Island.
No,
I'm from
but
Seattle.
That was a bad pun. Well, you're from Seattle where grunge was the important style, right?
Sure, yeah, and that had a huge influence on me, although I missed a lot of it because while I was in France, the whole grunge scene happened and left. And when I went back, it was practically over. So
it wasn't Nirvana anymore.
It wasn't Nirvana anymore. They had gone into the sellout stage for a while, and then when they did their Unplugged album, that's when they came back, and then Kurt Cobain killed himself, unfortunately. So I kind of missed it. So I had a whole other influence of music in France.
But can't you read magazines, and can't you listen to rock shows on the radio to decide what you like?
Sure.
Don't friends buy records and share them with you?
Yeah, I'm not just a TV head.
Yeah, I would hope not. If you're going to go to MTV to find out what's going on in the rock scene, you're going to get a rather distorted view, aren't
you?
Well,
I was just expressing my distaste with, you know, that as a venue for most of the rest of the United States in many ways. So, you know, it's really kind of flipped and turned into a reality show. And whereas, you know, when I was young and watching MTV for the first time with the Spaceman and the guitar riff, you know, that was real music television. Nowadays, I depend on other ways of getting my music. One way is definitely through the radio, and I listen to WNYC, I listen to WFUV, you know, for folk music, for, you know, oldies, for, you know, there's a really great program that does nothing but big band.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've discovered, you know, a whole new realm of radio myself.
You might try my old radio station, WKCR.
Where's that?
That's where I began, at Columbia.
What,
it's at 89.9.
Okay.
And BGO, of course, the great jazz station from Newark.
So yeah,
just keep on going around the dial. You'll find stuff. Thanks so much for calling us. This is WNYC 93.9 AM 820. We're online at WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate, taking your calls at 212-267-9692. Victoria in Brooklyn. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Leonard. How are you?
I'm well. And you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And what are you watching and listening to and reading?
Well, I'm finding in this age of, you know, everyone fits into a demographic and certain types of people like certain things, I feel really schizophrenic.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you know, there are books that deal with those emotional problems.
Yeah, I realize that. But I just find, like, most of what I come in contact with in the culture so obscene.
So how do you find the things that will please you? Do you read critics? Do you talk to friends?
I talk to friends, and I do read critics, but I find even, like, more and more I'm starting to subvert myself. Like, I'm obsessed with these shows that come on the WB network.
Uh-huh.
You know,
you're addicted to bad shows.
Yes, I'm addicted to bad shows, yet, you know, I watch the Laird News Report, and I listen to you pretty faithfully. But I'm, like, on this therapy of these shows about young white people with these stupid problems.
Well, if it gives you pleasure, what's the difference? I mean, this is not a criminal thing that you're engaged in.
It's not criminal.
It's a guilty pleasure, that's all.
Oh, but it feels more than guilty. It just feels, it feels pathetic.
What about, what, now I'm forgetting the name, is that terrible, the Housewives show on ABC?
That show, I don't know, it's too, I think, I like shows for much younger people. Like, the shows that I like to watch are usually for maybe, like, 8 to 12-year-olds. Like, you know, that Desperate Housewives is just, it's too old for me.
Well, too many 8 to 12-year-olds are watching it. There
are
a lot of 8 to 12-year-olds watching it.
Unfortunately, yeah, they need not be. But, yeah, I'm totally into regressing.
So you want to see these shows about kids in high school who are having real problems?
No, I like supernatural shows.
Oh, I see. Witches. I got it.
Yeah. So.
And vampire killers. Okay.
I saw I Heart Huckabees.
You like that?
Very much.
Did you go because?
It was wonderful.
Did you go because you read a favorable review, or because friends told you to see it?
Because friends told me to see it.
Uh huh.
And I was so glad when I got there to hear the music in the movie. That was by the same guy who did the music and Punch Drunk Love.
Mm-hmm.
So I found the music absolutely delightful. So anyone out there who's looking to buy a gift for someone, the I Heart Huckabee soundtrack.
Okay, well, thank you for calling us, Victoria.
Okay, thank you.
Daryl in Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I really, really love your show, and I think this is a fun thing to do. I'm one of those people that all of my friends and family come to me for music, so not just during the holidays, but it seems like any other time, and they know I'm a music head. I'm a voracious reader of music magazines and everything else. I'm a huge, huge jazz fan and old soul music and gospel.
Cyrus Chestnut is coming up in the next segment?
Yes, and I'm excited. I couldn't believe you were going to have him on. I think that's just great. But around the holidays, I get obsessive about certain jazz vocal singers. So right now, I'm in a Joe Williams, Dinah Washington, and...
There's nothing wrong with that.
Sam Cooke mode, yeah. So
Yes.
And so I was just buying, a couple of friends of mine wanted me to buy some music for them for the holidays.
Well, you have to hold on a second. I think we have two things on the same time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm going to put you on over here. Okay.
Please hang up.
Victoria, hang up already.
Please check your
something. Somebody's going to have to do it over there. Okay. So we're back with you, Daryl.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what happens. Sometimes you push these buttons and they just don't disconnect.
And they do their thing. I guess.
Yeah,
that's
modern technology.
Yeah. I hear you. But I don't know.
So you trust the critics in these magazines that you're reading?
Some of them and some of them no. I'm at a point now because I've been such a music person for so many years. I mean, I'm not an old guy or anything, but since I was a very, very young kid, that I'm able to sort of discern what sounds kind of credible to me based on my history with music and what doesn't sound so credible. And I haven't really been hearing that from some of the listeners, which kind of surprises me. I mean, I can always discern what sounds right in terms of what they're saying and what doesn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so I take what sounds right and I go with it. And that applies to movies and books and everything else. I
mean, and do you usually choose wisely? You don't find yourself in a theater saying, what am I doing here?
Sometimes. But I tell you, because I'm so discerning and I read so much, there's certain people that I'll go to see. I knew I wouldn't see Alexander. I had a sense that was going to be horrible, even before I started reading reviews and stuff. I like Oliver Stone stuff, but I'm always very cautious with him. So that one, I mean, there was no question I wasn't going to see it. But you know, I like smaller films. I'm a huge foreign film kind of guy too. But not all foreign films. There's some that are real dogs, and I've gone to see some foreign films that I ended up really hating. And I don't watch too much television because I'm always out and about and going to clubs and things. But I have a show that's a guilty pleasure. It's called it's on TLC. It's called What Not to Wear. I don't get enough of that show.
I haven't
rerun
seen
it, and I watch the reruns over and over again. I mean, it's that whole sense of like the ugly duckling turned into the swan thing.
Well, I think there are a lot of people who sit next to me on the subway who should be watching that show. Thank you for calling us. Jono, is it Jono?
Jono.
Jono, hi.
How are you, sir?
I'm well.
I'd like to speak to the live theater, please.
I'm sorry I left that out.
I was going to say, I'm quite surprised I'm the first one to do this. I mean, we have people talking about seeing Alexander and regressing to childhood, mm-hmm. which is... I think NPR listeners are better than that, quite frankly. But
the problem with theater right now is that it seems to not appeal to young people, even when you would think many of those shows would.
Well, between you and me, I don't have children, and I'm not in marketing, and I don't care if theater appeals to young people. I mean, as far as the quality of the stuff that I want to see, but I guess that's a different conversation.
Well, we do want it to survive.
And it shall, you know. And I think... the way is not to dumb it down and expand demographics that way, but to train people that they ought to be attending live theater more often. Whole different conversation. Briefly, I won't take up much of your time. You were speaking as to how I decide what to see, not necessarily what I need to see, and I usually go by whatever John Simon from New York dislikes.
There's that negative factor. I have certain critics
exactly
like that.
Exactly what I'm going to go to, since he's, you know, an odious person, and that's just common knowledge in New York.
But what happens, sometimes John Simon may like a play that you also like. You still will deny yourself it because...
It's hard. And you know, yeah, because you don't want to be that firm on principle. You want to give it a shot. But then at the same time, you have to decide why a critic is disliking something or liking something, or if he's just being... petty, and you read reviews by this man who talks about, well, the show would have been good if the lead actress wasn't so fat.
Mm-hmm.
And, or, you know, she's trying to play that, and she's clearly out of her range. And so it makes suspect anything else that might be, you know, within his intellectual prowess as far as assessing the play. So you see it, and I see a lot of theater, and I just, the other side of that is I find he's usually wrong. It's like his hatred has sort of oozed over into his sense of determining what's good. Things like usually smaller things that, for example, that younger people should see. There was a cute little off-Broadway musical called Xana Don't, which wasn't brilliant, but it was sort of reinvigorating the form. And he just trashed it left and right. And it was this wonderful off-Broadway chamber piece that was taking place sort of in a high school and had smart pop writing.
Jono, I have to leave it there. But this does lead us into another topic, and we'll do it somewhere down the line.
Thank you. So
and that is, are critics tougher on things that are worthwhile but don't make it completely than they are on things that aim low but do better than one expected? Thank you all so much for calling in. It's been a lot of fun, and we'll do this again sometime real soon, I hope.